In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. As I mentioned today, it's Feria in the time of Epiphany, and so the I'm saying a votive mass for ecclesiastical unity, which we desperately need these days when the church, it seems, is fractured into a thousand pieces. Also, let's see, I'm going to give a bumper sermon today. That means like two. So I'm going to give one now and then one at the 7 p.m. Mass, which is going to be different. I'm going to talk at the 7 p.m. Mass about Our Lady of Good Succor, which is a feast peculiar to the United States. That actually comes from the War of 1812, when some Ursuline nuns in New Orleans prayed to an image of Our Lady, and they had an incredible victory. They wrote to, like, President Jefferson, and he wrote something back and all this kind of stuff. So it's very interesting, and I didn't have enough time to research it for this morning, so I'll say that tonight. What you get for this morning is a feast of other saints. We'll hear a little bit about each of them, ending with Blessed Eurosia Fabris, housewife and saint. So the first, St. Addo of Tbilisi, Georgia. That was where I was stationed for 9 months in the Marine Corps. So it's got a little place in my heart, Tbilisi, Georgia. So this is, I was in the 8th century, St. Addo was, and Georgia has constantly been, it's like this gateway between Russia and the Middle East, and so it's just been a thoroughfare over the centuries. In the 8th century, it was pretty much Catholic at this point, but had been conquered by Muslims. So one of them was St. Addo. He grew up Muslim, but he began to be convinced of Catholicism, but he was afraid to convert because apostasy in Islam is a capital offense. They'll kill you. In the American church nowadays, nobody cares. Oh, just be a good Protestant, whatever. There's like no concern for the faith. But this is on the other side. We don't want people to convert because of fear of death. We want them to convert or be convinced because it's the truth. So Addo was afraid to convert, but eventually he did. He was secretly baptized, and he lived a few years as a closet Catholic, but eventually he was discovered, and he was brought before a tribunal for apostasy. And this is the difference, right? You don't have to go out and be completely open about your faith, as we heard from, what was it, Polyuctus yesterday. He went out and, like, ripped up the edict of persecution and was smashing pagan idols. You don't have to be like that. But if, you know, you can quietly, you know, just, you don't have to come out and boldly, you know, proclaim your faith in people's faces. But when you get caught, don't deny it. Be bold. And that is what St. Addo did. He was bold in his faith. He said, yes, I am a Catholic. I converted. And if that makes me an apostate from Satan, then I guess I am. And so he was martyred. So St. Addo of Tbilisi, Georgia. Here's an interesting story today about St. Agathon. He was a hermit in 4th century Egypt, and he was a basket weaver, and he would sell the baskets to sustain himself, and then he would keep making baskets and give them to other poor people for them to use or sell whatever they wanted. So that's actually, what do you call that? That's the communist ideal. To each according to his need, from each according to his ability. That's what communism wants. Everybody takes only what they need, but they produce as much as they can. The only time communism has ever worked is in a Benedictine monastery, right, or Franciscan or Carmelite or whatever. That's the only ever place that ever works. And history, that's how the Middle Ages, that's how Europe was built, was the communism that existed in monasteries and convents, because it was principled around God, and the only people there wanted to be there. You can't force it on people. So Agathon, and he was a real-life Good Samaritan. He once found a foreign traveler lying ill by the side of the road, a complete stranger. So he took the man to an inn and looked after him, and then he paid the innkeeper everything he had, and then he worked in the city for 4 months just so he could pay the fees to take care of this sick stranger in an inn. So that was St. Agathon in the 4th century. We have St. Atticus, and he was a heretic. He opposed St. John Chrysostom at one of the councils over the Macedonian heresy. St. Atticus said the Holy Spirit is not equal to God the Father and God the Son. And so St. John Chrysostom was exiled, and Atticus took his place, took his seat as bishop. And however, Macedonianism was condemned by the Pope, condemned by a council, and Atticus realized the error of his ways. So he changed his heart. So that's what happens, right? Don't despair over, you see, like, oh, my bishop's a heretic. Well, maybe he'll convert. Are you praying for him? Or are you just criticizing him on blogs? I hate my bishop, whatever, whatever. Pray, right, as possible. St. Nathalon of Aberdeen. This is in England some time ago. I don't have the year. But he gave up the life of a wealthy nobleman to live as a hermit, and he earned a living by raising a garden. And he said that the gardening, farming, is the occupation closest to divine contemplation. Very interesting. Actually, gardening, farming, the closer you are to the land, the closer you are, especially for men, right, tilling the land, it's very, it can be even a spiritual experience. Now, there's a reason for that, in that when God created Adam and he put him in the garden, what did God tell Adam to do? He didn't say, sit on your rear end. He said, till the garden and keep it. So God created Adam before the fall in a state of innocence, and God gave Adam work to do. But he said, till it and keep it. It wasn't like it was going to be hard, back-breaking labor. Adam was supposed to be like, you know, everything was perfect. Like the grass would have been perfect, the trees, no brambles, any of this kind of thing. It would have just been, you know, what can you do, right? God telling Adam, what can you do with the creation that I gave you? It would have been easy, and the fruit would have easily yielded forth goodness. It was after the fall that now Adam had to till the garden and keep it, and the earth would not yield its fruit, and the sky would be like iron, and the earth would be like brass, and the sweat of his brow, he would work. So that was the curse. Work is not the curse. Hard work is the curse. Fruitless work. Frustrating work. That was the curse of Adam. So Nathalon of Aberdeen, he realizes this, that, you know, working in the land is good. It is good and it's spiritual because it's what men are supposed to do, or the mankind. Just like women, right? Women are supposed to nurture children. That's their fruit, right? That's the fruit that they're designed for it. And this is why, again, the kind of curse of Adam and Eve is that men will tend to pour themselves into their work to an excessive degree. They're not supposed to be that involved in work, but it relates to their nature and the job God gave them to do. What do women tend to do? They pour themselves into their children to an excessive degree. They're too concerned. They're too involved. They're too controlling. It's good, but it's too much. You have just what you want your husband not to spend so much time at work. You got to get yourselves out of your children's lives. Stop telling them what to do and being all involved in everything. Anyway, so that was a great quote from Nathalon of Aberdeen. It was closest to divine contemplation, right, working the ground. And he became a bishop, and he evangelizes people. And during a time of famine, he worked miracles of provision, providing for people. Saint Thorfinn, who's a Norwegian saint, and nobody knew he was a saint. During life, he was kind, patient, generous. He had a mild exterior. He was very kind to people, but very firm against evil and the ungodly. And then he died, and that was the end of it. And then 50 years later, they were doing a church renovation, and they came across his tomb, and they opened it up, and his body was incorrupt, and there was a sweet odor coming out of it, and people started getting healed, and there were like these miracles. So then, 50 years after this normal nobody saint dies, then they start, he starts having a devotion, right? So you don't have to do anything extraordinary to become a saint. So this is just a handful, right? Like this is like scattered jewels in the church, all these lives. And behind every single one of these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lives I've just mentioned, they're one of 10,000, 50,000 lives. Excellent lives that people have lived in the world. They've given themselves to Christ. They've lived the principles. Nobody knows about them. But God knows about them, and now we know about them, and there's more, plenty more. Blessed Eurosia Fabris. She was born in 1866, Italy, and made her first communion at 12 years old, very pious, and she had a number of devotions. She was devoted to the Holy Ghost, the infant Jesus, the cross of our Lord, the Blessed Sacrament, the Blessed Virgin, and the souls in purgatory. Sounds like a pious Italian lady, which is exactly what she was. She's a little girl. And as a teenager, she taught catechism to children, and she taught little girls how to sew. And she received several marriage proposals, but repeatedly turned them down. She didn't think she had a vocation to marriage. But in 1885, she would have been 19, a neighbor woman tragically died, and she left behind 2 children under the age of 2. So Blessed Eurosia Fabris, Rosa, began caring for them, and soon after, she married the children's father. because she thought this is the will of God. So now she marries their father. She has these two little girls, and then the two of them have 9 other children of their own. But it didn't stop there. Rosa opened their home to the children of the village, to orphanages and all that. And so everybody's just coming into her house. She would feed everybody. They would come, they would go, they would play together. The whole village started calling her Mama Rosa. And despite that, I mean, the endless workload of a mother, Rosa manages to maintain a deep prayer life. She's a type of woman that the Bible praises, the Book of Wisdom, practical, hardworking, prudent, dedicated to the poor and sick. And despite the fact they were never wealthy, she always had somehow something to give to poor people, even though she was poor herself. 3 of her sons became priests, and then she died in the year 1932. Blessed Eurosia Fabris. So that's a great example for married women, right? Women of large families, and especially maybe the lesson, or the I don't know how to say this. Everybody thinks, right? Priests, mothers, fathers, that matter, nobody has time for prayer. I don't have time for prayer. I'm too busy. I have so much to do. I have all this kind of stuff. It actually, everybody has time. Not everybody has motivation or the desire. If you really, really want to do something, you're going to do it. So that really is the key. We have to make ourselves understand, my problem is not that I don't have enough time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the energy. I don't have enough love for God. Prayer, right? People have stress reliefs. Many people, stress relief women, they do stress eating, stress texting, stress movies, whatever it is, stress sleeping, all these things to relieve stress. It's hard for prayer to be a stress relief. It's hard to let that be something that we can, after a long, hard day with the kids, we can sit down and do our prayers, and it's relaxing, and it re-energizes and recharges us. It's hard to do. And it starts with forcing yourself, like another responsibility I don't want to do, start small. I always tell people that. But ask for it. Ask God. One of the greatest gifts is a love of God. God, please give me a great love of you. That's what we have to ask for, so that when it happens, we don't think that I've produced it. Oh, God, look at all this love I've brought to you. That never works. So we have to realize God gives it to us first, then we give it back, and then it can be something that energizes us. That's how somebody like Blessed Eurosia was able to have 9 kids, 2 other kids, and then a bunch of neighbor kids all over the place and still find time for prayer. So it's possible. These are just the examples of the saints. There's many more. And then even the miracles that God can work, as we'll find out, or I'll mention tonight, Our Lady of Good Succor. She's always there, ready to help us. She's our mother. Let's go to her, right, and ask her for those good things. Not material things, but prayer, piety, sanctity, peace, love of her son. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.